This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are continuing our conversation on the January 6th hearings. Joining us to talk about how they've been going and whether or not they might make a difference in American politics is Christopher Mullins, professor of criminology and criminal justice at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. Professor Mullins, welcome to the 21st show.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Alvin Tillery, Associate Professor of Political Science and African American Studies at Northwestern University. Professor Tillery, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, again, we want to hear your reactions to the hearings so far. Do you think they're going to change anyone's mind? And who should be held accountable for the attacks? Join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So, Professor Tillery, I'm just going to begin with you with a pretty basic question. What do you think of the hearings so far? How are they going?
Well, I think the hearings have been very impactful. I think we've known from media accounts for a while that there was a pretty good indication of what was happening in the White House and also what the involvement of Republican electeds in the Congress was. But I didn't think that we would get such clear receipts this early in the hearings as we've gotten in the first two. And so I've been really impressed by what the committee has been able to uncover and how they've been able to string together through text messages and through direct interview statements from people like William Barr and Bill Stepien, what the state of mind of Mr. Trump was in the hours leading up to and after the insurrection.
Yeah, the receipts, as you said, and they are sort of presenting it almost as a prosecutor might and in a court case, stringing together comments and juxtaposing statements from the president and his top advisors who thought, well, as in the immortal words of the former attorney general, that it was a bunch of BS, to paraphrase what he said. Professor, the idea of the election being won fraudulently. Professor Mullins, same question to you. What do you think about the hearings so far?
I think they've done a really good job of putting together a coherent and solid narrative of some of the things that were happening. Like Professor Tillery said, I mean, we've gotten these little bits and pieces for months now, but to just see them line it all up and put it all together and combine, you know, the physical evidence, you know, the camera evidence for the testimonial evidence, they're doing a pretty good job, I think, presenting the case to the people.
Professor Mullins, is there significance, or maybe what is the significance in the former colleagues and confidants of President Trump now testifying under oath that this was, in fact, what happened? Because I think we knew or thought we knew a lot of this stuff already, but what is the significance of having, you know, these people on video, for example, saying that this is what happened?
Well, one, it lets you counter a lot of the propaganda BS that's spit out by the Republicans, the constant stream of lies, because you've got them, you know, on tape or on camera saying something, and you can throw that back and say, no, we can establish that this was at this point in time.
All right. Let me, I want to play excerpts of a voicemail from one of our listeners. Let's take a listen to that.
Hello. This is Stephen in Urbana. I believe that what's been presented thus far has been quite thoughtful, thorough, and effective at bringing the background and details of the insurrection to the public. My only regret is that Donald Trump is not in the docket, and these proceedings are not his trial. Trump must be held accountable, and I hope our judicial and political systems are up to that task and take the committee's findings as the preamble to meaningful action. Thank you.
All right, thank you for that message. We also got text messages from listeners. Kathy said, in part, the hearings might change a very few minds, more likely to clarify the events of that day for those interested, open-minded people who actually care about our Constitution and democracy. Seems as though too many people have become intellectually lazy, dangerous for our country, end quote. On the other hand, another person texted, "Don't care. It cost me $25 in gas to shuffle 4 kids to various sports in one day this past week. This isn't sustainable." Professor Tillery, who's plugged in to these hearings? Can you talk about, you know, that public sentiment and general bandwidth about the insurrection a year and a half later?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, what we have to realize is that everyone is plugged in. There's been a lot of talk about how different today's media landscape is from the media landscape that was in existence during the Watergate hearings, which is probably the closest cognate that we have to what we're going through with the January 6th hearings. And that's right. We had 3 big television channels and, you know, they were able to focus the nation in a very particular way. We don't have that anymore. But what people forget about the Watergate hearings is that most Americans were at work when those hearings were taking place in the daytime. And then they would get home and they would have a lot of secondary analysis on the news shows, the daily news shows, radio, and the newspaper. And I think that's still happening. We know that something close to 20 million people watch the primetime hearings. There's been a steady diet of good analysis on all media channels, including yours, in my view. And I think everyone is somewhat tuned in. The broader question of how much that will matter for politics, I mean, I think, you know, I agree with Professor Mullins. It's about more than the politics. It's about establishing an historical record of an attack against our democracy. And I don't believe that the Democrats are doing this because they think it's going to help them win the midterms. I think the Democrats know they're in a tough spot regarding the midterms, but this has to be done because if we don't hold people at the highest levels of our government accountable when they attack our democracy, we can no longer say that we are a nation of laws. And that's just a fact.
Yeah. And as you well know, not just Democrats, right? Two Republicans on this committee as well, including Illinois' own Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Let's go to the phones, 800-222-9455. And we have Paul from Urbana on line one. Paul, thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you. I have misgivings about the hearings in the sense that Cheney keeps talking about this 7-part plan to overturn the election. I would like for them to do a schematic, represententation, at least foreshadow what they're going to be talking about. And I'm wondering whether the delay of this hearing might indicate that there's some disarray about how they want to proceed. One thing that, and it impinges on the charging of the people that went on, and that is the 12th Amendment gambit. I don't hear much about that in the reactionary media it's talked about. This was the mechanism of throwing the election into an impasse, stopping the proceedings, and then it would go to the House of Representatives, and it would be one state, one vote, and Trump would win. That's what I think was his gambit, to disrupt the proceedings and throw it into the House. But I don't hear people talking about that. And I think a foreshadowing of that, likely to be presented by Raskin, because he did mention it some in the impeachment hearings. But I don't hear people talking about it. I don't understand why.
All right, Paul. Well, let me see if our guests have a perspective on that. Thank you. Thank you for calling in to share your views. I appreciate it. Professor Mullins, what do you think about what Paul had to say there?
They have 2 days left in the hearing. So they've got, as Professor Tillery said, they've got more receipts to drop. So hopefully that will come out, and I think they will focus more on some of those aspects later. A lot of the 12th Amendment discussions on the right-wing sites, that's meaningless. It's not even a legally correct interpretation of what the 12th Amendment says, which was actually, if you've done some of this, they've reported that, you know, Mike Pence and his lawyers, his team, you know, tried to make that point several times to the administration.
Okay. And let's talk then about this idea of, I'm curious about this idea of declining trust in our society. This is something that's been going on for a long time, and how that relates to, you know, these false claims of voting fraud and people kind of buying into that. And then that eventually leads to political violence. Professor Tillery, can you talk about that, that through line of trust to conspiracy to violence?
Yeah, well, I mean, there, you know, there's a famous book in American history and politics called the about the paranoid style of American politics. And so we've always had a large, or not a large, but a sizable component of our electorate that is, you know, taken by conspiracy theories. I think Mr. Trump and the folks that have been engaged in the really bad nefarious acts around our election realize that, and they're able to manipulate that part of the public to their advantage. But, you know, for me as an historian of these issues, there's a very real cognate here with, you know, what happened during the Reconstruction era in 1876, where, you know, we did not hold people accountable because of threats of violence, because of actual violence. And that's what really gave rise to the Jim Crow era. Right. And so, you know, I think we have to really be cognizant of, you know, the real dangers here. We are really up against the guardrails in terms of protecting the future of our democracy. And all of these things have to be weighed very carefully, you know, in terms of whom we hold accountable, what we do to prevent violence. I mean, we already see groups mobilizing like they did in Idaho to attack a pride parade. We already see the kind of thuggery that is being deployed in the name of some of the same values that the insurrectionists were justifying when they struck on January 6th. And so we're at a very, very critical time for the future of our democracy. And I think that we do have to think about the role that violence may play going forward.
Yeah. As a criminologist and someone that studies violence, we know that a lack of trust in institutions, a perception of a lack of legitimacy of social institutions, especially governmental institutions, is incredibly correlated with increases in homicide across U.S. history. Professor Randy Roth wrote an awesome book on called American Homicide, where he traces this theme, as well as several others, through homicide in the U.S. and the general collapse of trust our citizenry have in many of our social institutions is a lot of what's driving the current homicide increase. I know that's not what we're here to talk about, but that same lack of trust of the government then feeds right into conspiracy theories because it provides you with the extremists believe it provides them with the unfettered truth that the whoever they're opposed to is hiding from them, gives them that unique identity and allows them to continue to socialize and build stronger groups. And yeah, like we saw, there was violence that was interrupted just recently, and there will be more. Political scientists are famous for saying a failed coup is just a dry run for the next coup. They know what went wrong last time, and Republicans have been taking steps in at least 20 state legislatures to try to ensure something similar can happen, although legally, with the next elections. So yeah, like to reemphasize that our democracy is in peril, and we haven't seen this since Reconstruction. I'm really glad Professor Tillery brought up that, because that's really the situation we're in.
Well, let me, in the few minutes we have remaining, I wonder if there is a through line, and I don't want to both sides this, right? I think the attack on the Capitol is a uniquely terrible thing, but you are seeing there's this man who was going to assassinate Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and obviously a man who was a Bernie Sanders fan who attacked a congressional baseball practice a few years ago. We've had a federal court judge's son killed in New Jersey, and that individual who carried that out allegedly was going to target Justice Sonia Sotomayor. There was the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville. There was some violence, not broadly, but some violence in the 2020 police reform protests. I could go on. Is there a general rise in political violence in America? How worried should we be about this, Professor Tillery?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should be worried about it. I think, you know, Professor Mullins really nailed it. And I think we need to be listening more to criminologists and sociologists about, you know, what are the social predicates of the rise in this violence? And so I do think that social media is one of them. I mean, you know, the both siding of it is inevitable in our political system. But what I would suggest is that the Democrats have not wholly owned and tried to make, you know, any sort of false claims the center of their political ideology in the way that we've seen with the Republicans after the January 6th insurrection. And so Professor Mullins really nailed that. That's what's really dangerous, is that, you know, we didn't see those 140 that voted to decertify the election stand down, right? Let's not forget that, you know, Justice Blackmun, who authored the Roe decision, was, you know, constantly being shot at for many years, or, you know, they shot into his apartment. And so this has always been a part of the system. But when a party grafts this kind of bad behavior into its operational standard, then we're in real trouble. Then we're back to the 19th century. And I think that's what I think Professor Mullins and I are more worried about than the kind of, you know, sort of there's violence everywhere, you know, sort of narrative.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both. This has been a fascinating conversation and one we will continue to follow. Alvin Tillery is on the faculty in political science and African-American studies at Northwestern University. Christopher Mullins is professor of criminology and criminal justice at Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. Professor Mullins, Professor Tillery, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking about the state of the campaign for Illinois governor. There is a couple of new polls out on the Republican side showing State Senator Darren Bailey with a double-digit lead over Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin. We're going to talk about one of the reporters whose outlet commissioned that poll and who wrote it up. That's coming up after a short break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.